Soul to soul, spirit to spirit. Greetings of love from the island of Kauai. A dedicated student writes, I have spent a lot of time with the infinite eye, and for periods of time am able to let it live without human help. Then there are exceptions, not always big ones. However, they take on a dimension, demanding that I stay in the infinite eye. So I strengthen my resolutions, but before I know it, they are set aside once more. There must be a deeper surrender of all humanness. But how? Is it that part of me that wants to surrender, but somehow can't? Is surrender done by God? Is surrender solely the act of sitting in the silence of my peace? Again, but how? I know you've given the answers to these questions, but some part of me won't let me hear them. You will say, but you don't know your identity. There are many times that I do. What have I done to establish my peace? And then what have I done to destroy it? My deepest being strives for the ultimate good, and yet that same thing is pushing it away. That same being is pretty human. I guess I need your words for this me and for this now. If they come in the way of a whiplash, I am certain I understand that now too. I have lived with this last tape, and I am feeling as though I'm a total failure. Some part of every day shows me the presence, but still not enough. I feel that these are very important questions. They describe articulately and honestly a state of consciousness that is common to many advanced students on the spiritual path. Like a woodpecker trying to peck through a pane of glass, we are baffled. The awakened promise of new dimensions tantalizes us, but the goal remains elusive, beyond reach, and we struggle in a sense of hypnosis, pecking away at the promise of a better tomorrow while the cosmic mist holds us firmly in the dream. How can we climb to higher realms? How can we remain above the mesmerism of the senses? Students who are committed to absolute truth need straightforward, uncompromising answers based on experience, not opinion. And that is the prime purpose of today's adventure in eternity. We start today at a crossroad with a bright red sign flickering danger. Are we moving into conflict with unseen forces? Are we victims or beneficiaries of technology? Does our path lead to paradise or to oblivion? As we reflect on these issues, we see the real danger. fear of the unknown, timidity, inertia, apathy, doubt, the comforts of mortality, the subtle persuasions of success, status, and profit. Unconsciously, we protect our gains in this world while we strive for progress in both worlds. Inadvertently, we have been trapped into duality. We have reached for spirituality while clinging tightly to humanhood. We are still going sideways while we try to move forward. It is time for a change. And Christ has an unexpected change for all of us. A bold, revolutionary adjustment that is reserved only for those true souls who really believe in their own Christhood. This world has tried to worship God, but without this revolutionary method, it has worshiped without success. From sacrificial lambs and pigeons in the mighty mausoleums of pharaohs and the gaudy tombs and temples of the affluent, men have sought divine favor, always dividing God and man into two, always repeating the original error of denying that God is one without a human opposite. Today, to refresh our knowledge of oneness, we turn to Joel's eye-opening statement on page 27 of Living Between Two Worlds. A human being, says Joel, is living in a purely material sense of world, but is not living in a material world, because there is none. What a statement! Now look at it with all of your being, because these are living words that can take us all into the light of heaven on earth. They are Christ words with divine substance to nourish our souls. Listen again now. A human being is living in a purely material sense of world, but is not living in a material world, because there is none. This is the beginning of the answer to every student who suffers from that wonderful malady called divine discontent. We accept that statement by Joel as an unchanging divine truth. The material world, with all its pains and pleasures, sorrows and joys, failures and triumphs, is a five-sense illusion. The only world here is the genuine spiritual kingdom, where perfection is the infallible and infinite law. So we all have this choice. We can surrender our divine inheritance by continuing to live and to die in the illusion world of matter. Or we can take off our shoes and refuse to donate the remainder of this lifespan to an illusion. If we select the latter and determine to live this lifespan outside the illusion, we are ready to part the Red Sea of doubt, frustration, and failure with a radical method ordained by God Himself. Perhaps it can be explained this way. Once we were four-legged animals, living under the law of self-preservation. We preserved our bodies against the elements by crawling into caves, hiding behind rocks, even huddling together in the darkness. We had absolutely no ability to build anything to protect ourselves against cataclysms, against the elements. Then we became two-legged animals. And we learned how to protect our bodies with man-made fortresses, with houses and cellars and silos and other shelters. And still against certain types of disasters, our human ingenuity proved to be absolutely inadequate. Flood, fire, famine, earthquake, nuclear missiles can exterminate even the most intelligent two-legged animal. But evolution went still higher. Above physicality, we come to a revolutionary method of self-preservation, pioneered by two immortals, Moses and Jesus Christ. These immortals demonstrated that if you want to survive against any form of destruction, there is a foolproof way ordained by God. And that way is to live outside your physical body. It seemed like a radical, revolutionary, incredible suggestion. But to leave a permanent record about this divine method of survival and of growth into higher realms, so that man would not rely on physical devices that are doomed to prove ineffectual, Moses wrote the seven creative days of Genesis. And he said, on the seventh day, God ended his work and rested from all his work which he had made. Now that, as you know, is a mystical code. And with it, Moses was informing enlightened Bible readers that after six levels of consciousness, mankind passes into the seventh level, which we now know as Christ consciousness. And in that seventh level, man lives forever in his eternal spiritual body. And it works. In fact, 15 centuries later, Moses himself, in this eternal spiritual body, appeared on earth at the transfiguration of Jesus Christ to prove that such a body really exists for all men and to announce that he too had attained this eternal body at the wedding in Cana when the host ran out of wine. Jesus agreed to replenish the wine. But do you remember what he did? First, he instructed the servants to fill six water pots with water up to the brim. These were the six levels of consciousness through which he and all men must pass. He was saying, I have passed through these six. Then the servants drew wine into a seventh container. And this was a secret revelation that Jesus himself was in the seventh day consciousness, that he had already attained his eternal spiritual body, and that his mission on this earth was to teach all of us how to do the same. He was revealing that God was working through his spiritual body, and that the spiritual body of God and of himself were one body without division. He was revealing the secret of oneness and the power that flows from this oneness. And then finally, in the revelation of St. John, chapter 13, verse 18, the number of man and the number of the beast is revealed as 666, which is the number of mortality, the number of mortal man who dies and returns to mortality again and again and again, because he does not ascend to the seventh level of consciousness. He does not ascend to his spiritual body of the seventh day. Oh yes, even before the wedding at Cana, the spiritual body of Jesus Christ had been revealed many times, but only to eyes that could not see. There was the mystical birth of Jesus Christ, which we know today as the Immaculate Conception. That mystical birth was a veiled statement that Jesus already lived outside the physical sense of body. He never had a human body. He had only one body, a spiritual body, right from the beginning of the mystical birth, and of course before that. This was emphasized when Herod had all children of Israel 2 years and under killed, but he could not kill Jesus Christ. And the reason is obvious. Christ did not live inside a physical body. He already was absent from the body and present with the Lord. As a matter of fact, at every opportunity, Christ demonstrated that he was not inside a body of flesh. When he walked on water, crossed the sea without a ship, eluded would-be murderers in the temple who wanted to stone him, for saying before Abraham was, I am, what was he demonstrating? If not a truth that is still unknown to the religions of this world, he was declaring to mankind, I have never lived in a physical body. I do not live in a physical body. And I shall never live in a physical body. I live my immortal life outside physical form. And this infinite spiritual body in which I live is the body of all men. And that is why divine power is working through me. My life is eternal. My life is unconditioned. That was his statement. Simply by walking this earth in an immortal body. Later on the banks of the Jordan, even before he started his actual ministry, Christ revealed that he was not living inside a physical body. The voice declared him to be the Son of God. Spirit then led him into the wilderness. But what happened? One, he rejected a temptation to turn stones into bread. Why? Because a spiritual body does not eat physical bread. And yet later he made bread for the multitudes without using stone, but from an invisible substance. Why? Because he was teaching that his special bread was not for just Jesus, but for all men. And it did not require matter to convert into bread. It was the substance of being. Later he rejected the temptation to leap from a pinnacle so that angels could catch him. Why? Because he was not in a human body that could leap. His spiritual body was already indivisible from God. He was teaching oneness of his spiritual body and the spiritual body of God. And later when he said, I am the bread of life which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He was telling you and me that when we find the bread of Christ within ourselves, we will not die. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Those are his words. What are we doing fooling around in these silly little bodies that die? Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And what was that truth? Today we shall see that truth. We shall see it face to face. As Jesus himself lived on earth for 3 years, outside of physical form, he was teaching us the revolutionary truth that whoever lives outside of physical form will live forever. Now let's try to grasp the full truth of that statement by returning to Joel's statement, which we read earlier. A human being is living in a purely material sense of world, but is not living in a material world because there is none. Now expand that statement. We are also living in a material sense of body, but we are not living in a material body because there is none. The Word made flesh, the way shower, was teaching the truth, the divine, dependable, unchanging truth, that no one on earth living inside a human body is living in a body that is really there. We only think it is there. He revealed the supreme hypnosis on earth, man's belief that he lives inside a human physical form. When the truth is that salvation comes only when you live consciously outside the physical form. Only then can you discover the reality of your spiritual body, which is already perfect and already eternal and already here. When this realization comes to you, it will be the same dynamic principle that transformed Moses into an invincible leader of the Israelites. I am not this physical form walking on the Sinai Desert. I am not living inside this form. I am the infinite I am, which is the real invisible substance of all form. That was Christ consciousness in Moses, declaring the oneness and allness of God in the one life of God everywhere. And that realization of oneness externalized as the non-power of the Pharaoh and the freedom of the Israelites. The discovery by Jesus Christ that the Spirit of God does not live in a physical body was definitely not understood by his contemporaries. Probably no one on earth at that time knew that the carpenter's son was not living in a physical sense of body, or that the power to heal all kinds of ailments came from his infinite spiritual body, which was the body of his Father, and of all men, born and unborn. When Nicodemus, a Pharisee and ruler of the Jews, inquired about the source of Jesus' power, Jesus replied, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Frustrated, Nicodemus cried out, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" The answer which the world has not discerned spiritually is this. In the first birth, we forget our immortal spirit. We believe that we are mortals living inside physical bodies. In the rebirth, or second birth, we realize that we are spirit, that spirit does not live in matter, that we have never lived in physical bodies, that our spiritual selfhood is independent of our physical body. And consciously, we begin to live outside our physical body image. So the second birth corrects the false impression that our spirit was first born into physical matter. The false fall of man the cosmic mist in the second chapter of Genesis is lifted, and we know that we are all the one infinite spirit called God, never born, never dying, always the perfect life of God, expressing and individualizing divine qualities throughout the spiritual universe. The world believes that every person must live in a physical body until he dies. Charles Darwin, the father of evolution, believed that. Every church leader on earth believes that. But the wonderful truth is that Jesus Christ taught a better way, a divine way, a living way. He divided man into two groups, asleep and awake. In the sleeping group, he included all human beings who live inside their physical sense of body. And he called them the living dead. In the awake group, he placed all who learned how to live outside their physical sense of body. And he called them the sons of God. When we who recognize this astonishing truth strive to activate it into our consciousness, we are walking the path of Christ. We are accelerating our spiritual rebirth. And we will soon discover that God and God's heaven and God's earth are one. Here and now. Today we must learn how to live outside physical form. How to break the mesmerism of matter. How to prevent the cosmic mind from pulling us back into mortality. We are taking off our earthly shoes to quicken our daily rebirth. And the first major step is to know why Paul said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You have heard that many times. But have you ever been told or realized that a natural man is one who lives inside a human body? Before Damascus, Paul, then known as Saul, was a natural man living in a natural body. And killing Christians. Restored to the knowledge that man is spirit, and that spirit can never live in a material tomb of flesh, Paul understood the Christ message of rebirth like few souls before or since. He knew from experience that men living inside mortal bodies of matter cannot receive the love, the life, the power, and the harmony of God. For God works only through the spiritual body of man. This law, unknown to science and religion, is the cause of all human karma on earth. And that karma is broken fully only by an individual who steps outside the concept of physical form. Actually, Paul revealed another startling truth. He revealed the origin of all error and evil. The natural man living inside a material sense of form is separated from infinity. And his five senses recycle spirit into the appearance of matter. The senses recycle divine life into the appearance of human life, eternal life into lifespans, immortal life into perishable life, spiritual body into physical body. The senses of man recycle the spiritual universe into a material universe. Perfection is recycled into good and evil. And spiritual man is recycled into a temporary mortal. Even infinite God is recycled into an abstract concept without power to govern the recycled universe. And that is divine truth. This hard, sad truth is that the natural man living inside a material body lives without God. He is a sleeping robot controlled by the cosmic mind, and his days are numbered. All of heaven is recycled into time by the cosmic mind and the five senses of man. And nothing can stop the masquerade except one determined action. Unwavering commitment to step out of the physical sense of form. Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Refuse to live and die in a physical tomb. God has provided you with a spiritual life and a spiritual body maintained forever by spiritual law. When you live in the physical sense of body, you deny the existence of Christ. And by so doing, you fall into a universal trap. We all do this. We crucify Christ. Whoever lives in a physical form rejects Christ, for Christ does not live in a physical form. And this rejection of Christ by mankind is the universal and individual crucifixion of Christ, which glorifies man and does not glorify God, but confines man to the recycled universe of birth and death. The Son of Man, outside form, is your real self. And in the second half of today's adventure in Christhood, we will take Christ off the cross and lift the cosmic veil of the senses. And then move into conscious union with the soul of all life. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And that truth is this: Christ has no physical body. Christ, being the infinite Son of God and the identity of man, no one can be in a physical body. The bread of life, the life that never dies, is the life of Christ, the life we discover when we overcome the concept of physical form as our human selfhood. This is our path. This is our reality. This is our commitment to the infinite I. And in this commitment, let us rest. Let us find the peace that passeth understanding. I dwell now outside physical form in the Holy Spirit, which has no boundaries in space or time. And I claim this Holy Spirit to be my spirit, to be my undying self. I claim the Christhood that the Father has bestowed upon all man. I claim living sonship, not in the future, but in the present. In the eternal present, I am. I am a son of glory. I claim all that God is to be mine. I claim the Father's peace, the Father's love, the Father's harmony. I claim the Father's life, the Father's spirit. I claim the Father's perfection. The Father's justice. The Father's beauty. The Father's truth. Who can take them away from my spirit? I and the Father and me. I before Abraham, I after the world. I in eternity, now. I above the images of time. high above the false beliefs that perfection can be less. High above the five-sense world of man. High above death itself. Not only this passing moment, but I, the Son of God, can never know death.